there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Roman. For $50 off your first month, go to getroman.com/fantasypros. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast for our last DFS show of the season. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere, as always. What's going on, man?
It's a good day. It's my son's first birthday today, and as I was saying that, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, he's going to listen, maybe in like 15 years. I don't know why he would go back to listen to a podcast 15 years later, but if you did, happy birthday, buddy.
That's cool, man. Happy birthday to him. My son is learning potty training today, so big day in our son's lives. And Tags, we were talking about the NFL draft before the show. I'm really excited for these offseason episodes, but first, we have one more DFS show, and our guest today is Doug Norrie of DFSR.com. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, glad to be here. And in the kid theme, we just had our second kid a week ago, so I'm in the newborn baby, don't know which way it's upstage right now. So looking forward to talking football and trying to keep my brain from scattering off into oblivion.
That's awesome. Congrats, Doug.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. That is really cool.
It was one of those, life was pretty good, and then now it's all turned upside down, so let's see how... what were we thinking? No, thanks. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking football.
Man, the old adage is definitely true. Like, when we moved from one kid to two kids, it was so much different than moving from zero to one. Like, they say one is like none, two is like 10. That is absolutely the truth.
Oh, yeah, I can attest to that. It feels like infinity right now, but I'm hoping to grind it down to 10, and then eventually just two is like having two. So looking forward to that day. Today is not the day for sure.
So guys, we have two games on this slate, which makes things really interesting for cash games. I mean, you only have so much money you can spend, so you can't exactly go with, you know, the best players at every single position. But, you know, because there's only so many players, you can do that at a lot of positions. So it's going to be interesting building strategy. GPP, you might have to get really contrarian here, you know, to catch lightning in a bottle and win that big tournament. We're going to talk about all that in a second. But first, I want to take a moment to talk about one of the sponsors of our show, DraftKings.com. I had another big week in DFS last week, thanks to Leonard Fournette. And I'm pumped to get out there again, fade Tom Brady. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. I'm sure Tags is sighing. If you haven't already, please try DraftKings.com. This weekend is a great time to get in the game. They've got beginner and casual contests, all kinds of contests for you. And building your team, it's just the best part of the week. Use promo code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings.com to play for free with your first deposit for your share of hundreds of thousands of dollars in total prizes. That's promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, at DraftKings.com to play for free. Sunday's coming up quick, so hurry to sign up at DraftKings.com now. That's promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, at DraftKings.com. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So guys, let's start here in the AFC, and we've got the Patriots face the Jags, and the Patriots are 8.5 point favorites. I'm taking the Patriots here with the spread. Where do you stand here, Doug?
I think the public, it's weird with these spreads, and I'm not a big line gambler, so I want to preface that by saying this, but I do think the public-y nature of the Patriots makes me want to take the Jags. I mean, also, road dogs in the playoffs so far have been, you've done pretty nicely if you just kind of gone that direction. I think it speaks to the volatility of the NFL and just how unpredictable it is. So I think from that standpoint, I do think the Jags defense is probably a little underrated here. The Brady hand injury probably affects things a little bit. I think I take the Jags plus eight and a half. I think I would go that direction in this game.
Yeah, I'm with Doug here. I think, you know, being the, it's a conference championship game. And that's the thing is, like, when you get to this, there's the two final teams left. And these are usually the best of the best teams. You know, there may have been one or two teams that just didn't get to this point in the season, but these two teams are here. And imagine going back to the early 2000s and the Ravens defense being, you know, a 9-point underdog. That's essentially what we're talking about here, because this is probably the best defense since we've seen in the early 2000s for the Ravens. And there's a lot of people, there's some recency bias here when, you know, the Steelers put 42 points on them last week, and some people are like, oh, there's holes in this defense. If you actually watch that game, there were a lot of touchdowns in that game that were highlight reel grabs that were required by Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. It's just these things needed to happen in order for, I mean, like Ben Roethlisberger's long touchdown pass to Martavis Bryant. I think that I don't even know if that was directed at Martavis Bryant. I think it was like a Hail Mary, just kind of throw it up there and see if somebody could run under it. So this Jaguars defense, I'm not willing to write them off. I'm not willing to say that they should be 9-point underdogs, which is essentially what this spread is. Even if it is Tom Brady, even if it is in Foxborough, this is a Patriots team that has somewhat struggled over the last 2 months. They haven't got Gronk involved in a little while. You know, some of their playmakers are coming off injuries like Chris Hogan, Rex Burkhead. Yeah, I'm with Doug here. I'm going the Jags +8.5.
You know, here's the thing. Blake Bortles had such an easy schedule that we really haven't seen him in that many negative game scripts. This is going to be a negative game script, and we're going to see just how bad he is. And here's another problem. First of all, Leonard Fournette's banged up. Their offensive line has been playing subpar over the past month and a half, and the Patriots have been getting after the quarterback better than any team in football, including Jacksonville. I think it's going to be ugly. Blake Bortles is going to have pressure on him, trying to come back. He's going to throw multiple picks. I'm using the Patriots in every single contest and defense for cash games, GPP, and I think this is going to end up being a blowout. Bortles is going to throw, you know, 2, 3, 4 interceptions. I don't know, but I think it's going to be ugly. This comes from a Jags fan. So, Doug, you talked about Tom Brady's hand injury. Does that concern you going forward? I mean, obviously, the Jags defense is a concern in itself, but do you think this hand injury is a big deal for Brady?
It's always hard to judge injuries, right? Especially the injury reporting is a weird thing in the NFL in general, just because of the way the tags are used. And it's really, from a projection standpoint, injuries, I would say, are the most difficult thing to try to figure. I would say that and like weather are the two most difficult things to try to pin down a number on. I think the fact that the line has dropped basically on that news is a bad sign for the Patriots. Now, I don't know if it was definitely specifically on that news, but it started at 9.5, and now I'm seeing it down to -8 for the Patriots, and it looks timed with right around when that hand injury was reported, which makes me, those are like, so sometimes independent of being able to have a good injury metric, I do like to see where lines move and how much sharps are taking into account this. Now, it could be just the fact that, you know, they just thought the line was going to move, but you don't see significant line movement like that until usually really late. So I think the hand injury is actually a thing, and I think sharp money is moving it in direction. That's my guess, at least with the hand, with Brady's hand at this point.
Tags, are you playing Brady in your cash game lineups?
No, I am not. He's too expensive. Like, the thing is if he was close to the pack, I'd consider him, but considering he's easily the most expensive quarterback on DraftKings, I'm not. I want to play the players who are projected the highest, and that's the thing. Is like Tom Brady, I think you could project Case Keenum for similar type scoring against Philly, maybe even more. But me personally, I'm going down to Bortles, man. Like, he's only 5K. He's really cheap. He has rushed 15 times over the last 2 weeks for 123 yards. You mentioned it. The Patriots have gotten after the passer over the last 3 games. Their sack percentage is like through the roof. Like, they are getting after the quarterback. 13.9% of dropbacks have resulted in sacks over their last 3 games. So you're correct in that aspect. But at the same time, if you're predicting negative game script, So this is what it is. The Patriots opponents have averaged 37 pass attempts per game. That's the third highest mark in the NFL. We obviously know why it's like that. Teams can't just sit there and run the ball against the Patriots because the Patriots offense is going to keep them in the game or ahead. So Bortles, what I looked at is the times where he threw the ball 35 times or more. He had at least one touchdown pass in every single one of those games. The only times he actually threw where he didn't throw a single touchdown pass was when he threw the ball 34 times or less. So I do expect him to throw 35 or more times, especially considering Leonard Fournette's angle and how that seemed to affect him. Sure, Leonard Fournette returned to that game last week, but he didn't look like the same player when he returned from the ankle injury. So I do think they're going to have to rely on Bortles here a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to blow the roof off, but in cash for $5,000, it allows you to fit so many playmakers into different positions.
$5,000 is a great price on DraftKings. FanDuel, he's $7,600, man. So I'm not touching him. I mean, remember, Road Bortles is a different quarterback, and it's not very good. With that said, yeah, I'll take the rushing yards. I think he's really the only safe bet to get you, you know, 30, 40, 50 rushing yards, unlike the other quarterbacks who are just kind of rocks back there. So, yeah, Bortles isn't a bad play on DraftKings. FanDuel, I'm not touching him.
Yeah. Yeah, FanDuel is a bit different. It's a bit tighter pricing on quarterbacks there.
You really can't underrate the rushing yards either. Like, I know it's easy to look past that, but that 40 yards rushing is a whole touchdown pass as compared to all those other those other quarterbacks who don't run at all. None of these other quarterbacks, I mean, Brady is definitely not, and the Keenum doesn't, and Foles doesn't either. And so if you're looking, it's easy to say, oh, just 40 yards. I know you didn't say this, but I think a casual fan will say, oh, 40 yards. That's 40 more yards than any other quarterback is going to get. And it is a whole touchdown. So I think that honestly, I mean, for FanDuel, the price isn't even completely out of bounds for me. It's a little closer because like you said, he's closer in price. But for $5,000, I'm with you guys. He's a cash game play for me. And I get that he stinks. So it's not, it's independent of analysis, right? He is one of the worst quarterbacks you're ever going to see in a conference championship game, for sure. But maybe the worst. But just the rushing yards alone, if you think he's going to get 45, just tack on another touchdown. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, that's enough to offset half of the interceptions he's going to throw, probably. You know, there was a week where we all chose DeShone Kizer, and it was a really good call, even though he's a terrible quarterback. This Patriots defense is just not very good. The game script sets up for Jacksonville to throw the ball 30 times, which doesn't excite you if you're a Jags fan, but it does excite you if you have Bortles in fantasy football. So I think that makes sense here. Now, at the running back position, Leonard Fournette is the top play of the week as far as I'm concerned. Even though he's banged up, even though he's more expensive, I think you got to get him in your lineup. The offense is completely focused around him.
I actually disagree on this. I'm a big Fournette fan. Everybody knows that, but I'm not playing. I'm not touching him this week. You know, I've stuck by my guns. And last week on the show, we talked about it. Anytime you give someone like Fournette of his talent caliber, you know, 20 plus touches per game, something is bound to happen. I don't know if it happens in this game. I think that they're going to end up mixing in TJ Yeldon more than people think, just because of that ankle injury. I think that it really did affect him over the second half of the season, because if you look at Fournette's splits from the beginning of the season, like over the first half until he missed that time with the ankle injury and he got suspended for that game for not attending his treatment, everything looked worse after that. Now, granted, he tore up the Steelers last week before getting hurt, but he hurt it again, causing him to miss some more practice time this week. I'm not touching him, honestly. I mean, me, I'm going to Deion Lewis. And the reason I'm going to Deion Lewis, I'm willing to pay up because he's my top projected running back this week. And on a slate that is two games big, you need to get the highest projected players. It's like a must. It's like Le'Veon Bell last week, where he was a must play, even though it wasn't an ideal matchup. You needed those touches. Lewis, over the last three games, has averaged 28.3 touches per game with at least 24 in every game. Now, I want to be clear and say don't expect that this week, because it seems like Rex Burkhead is going to find his way back into the lineup. But as you saw with Chris Hogan, he's only caught two passes in his two games back from his shoulder injury. Rex Burkhead has been out an entire month. So, you know, even earlier in the year when Burkhead missed time, when he came back into the lineup, they eased him back in. So I still think that Deion Lewis and James White, I'm actually playing both of those guys in my cash lineup this week in DraftKings. Deion Lewis is kind of like a must play. James White, I think, for $4,900 in a PPR format, I don't think you can go wrong, especially when you consider, you know, where Jacksonville struggles and what they've allowed. I want to give a quick shout out to Warren Sharp. He did an awesome article highlighting the Jaguars defense and basically where the weaknesses are in that. And when it comes down to personnel, the Patriots need to have a lot of running backs in the field. And if there's anything that Bill Belichick has done throughout his entire career as a head coach, it's utilize those mismatches. And they're going to do it with James White. James White has showed up on the big stage before. He showed up last week. So again, Deion Lewis and James White, those are both guys going to fit in my cash game lineup.
I like using them both together. I mean, especially in full PPR DraftKings, Lewis had 10 targets. You don't know who's going to get the touchdowns because Lewis lost some opportunities on the goal line to James White last week. So I like the idea of using them both. Doug, where do you stand? Using Fournette, Lewis, both of them, none of them? Who are you using?
I mean, Fournette, from a raw points perspective, it's hard to go against Fournette. Now, for the price, it's concerning. I'm with Tags. I'm a little concerned. If you look at the snap count from last week, Fournette only outsnapped Yeldon 2-1. Now, Yeldon does come in and he got some of the red zone work when he scored the touchdown, but to go 40 carries to, well, 19, so be essentially 2-1, that's like not a great sign. So Fournette, he has to basically touch the ball on every, if that's going to be the same kind of snap count this week, as if you're worried about the injury, he basically has to touch the ball every single time he's on the field, right? Like, that is basically what happened. He touched the ball basically 29 times out of the 40 snaps. And that's just not really a realistic number to sustain, especially if in a game where they're likely going to be down. So I think there's a pretty clear case to fading Fournette. The problem is there's not a ton of other ways to spend up just across the slate in general. So I think if you're looking, that's where I'm a little bit torn. I think Fournette's a very easy fade and definitely in tournaments. But there's no other running back that's going to get as close to possibly his projected amount of usage if things just swing just a little bit in his direction. I'm a little torn. I know that I'm not sounding like I have a ton of conviction here. It's just that there's a scenario where I see him being awesome and there's a scenario where I see him being awful, and I don't see much middle ground on him. And that's basically where I'm torn on Fournette. I don't see him having a mediocre game. I think he's either going to be great or awful, and probably the awful happens a few more times than the great, so I probably will end up wanting to fade him.
Guys, I'm looking at the wide receivers now in this game, and you know, obviously you don't like to pick somebody going against Jacksonville, but a lot of people are going to be using Tom Brady, right? I mean, we do expect Tom Brady to throw for 200 plus yards, maybe 300 plus, maybe multiple touchdowns. It's got to go to somebody. What I'm wondering is there a chance Tom Brady's hand is actually broken? Like, he would definitely play through a broken hand. And I don't care if you're Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you can't play with a broken hand. Could it be a really ugly game for Brady and this Patriots wide receiver cortex?
I'm not playing any of his wide receivers in cash. Like, in tournaments, yeah, you definitely want to have some exposure. Like, I think Danny Amendola is probably one of the wide receivers I consider in cash. Let's say you didn't want to play James White, and if you want to play Danny Amendola instead, I'm fine with that. I just think the personnel in terms of where Jacksonville struggles, I don't know if Amendola is going to be on the field a whole lot, whereas James White should be out there a lot more. But again, in cash, I'm not trusting Brady against this defense. And that's the thing is, like, last week we talked about Ben Roethlisberger and the fact that he was playing Jacksonville and the matchups and Antonio Brown being hurt. There was a lot of things kind of going against him. But then we also talked about the fact that him at home was a different quarterback. And like, he had legitimately thrown multiple touchdowns outside of one game since like week 13 of 2015. So it's like, you have to take into consideration all these things. And can Tom Brady turn into, you know, playoff Tom Brady from, you know, a couple of years ago? Absolutely. But I'm not banking on that in cash. So in terms of Patriots pass catchers, I am not playing any of them in cash. The only wide receiver from this game, actually, that I think I'm going to play in cash is Marquise Lee. And I'm saying that because he's a player who there's been. So if we're expecting Bortles to throw it a lot, we have to figure out target distribution and you know, where we're making this, where we're getting the targets. And Marquise Lee is only 4,400. That's like, you know, close to minimum, which is kind of ridiculous because there's been 10 games where he has seen at least six targets this year. In those games, he averaged over five receptions for 65 yards and a touchdown every three games. That amounts to 14.1 DraftKings points. Going back and looking at the target distribution for Blake Bortles when Marquise Lee played the game, like, you know, he got hurt in week 15. So we're going to remove that. We're going to remove 16 and 17. In the games he played, he saw 96 of Blake Bortles' 410 pass attempts. That's a 23.4% target share, which is among like the league leaders. So to get him at 4,400 is kind of stupid, especially if we're considering bad game script for this team, especially if we're considering Bortles to throw a touchdown or two in garbage time. Wherever we get our points, we don't care. But for 4,400, I really can't pass that up.
And by the way, his target distribution last week was exactly that number too, 23%, 6 for 26. So like, it's right in line with what they've done all season long for him. Which is crazy that the fact that it works out in the aggregate and in the small sample for the 23%. Yeah. But yeah, no, that is, I think you're going to see Lee as something of a chalk play because of that. And if you think that, if you think he trends up to like 40 pass attempts, then you're really looking, there's no other receiver really on the slate that's going to, that can stand to see that many targets for that price, as Lee.
Correct.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So is Lee somebody that you really like for cash games then, Doug? Or is there somebody else in this game who stands out to you?
I think you have to like him. I think when you look at the way they distributed targets last week, it was a complete mess. There was like 11 guys, something like that, 9, 10, 11 guys that saw targets. And no one, Lee saw 6, Fournette saw 4. It's going to be hard to trust that. And it's a running back, so whatever. And then the way that the wide receiver core has been both banged up and ineffective, and it's Bortles. I think you just need at this point to just target volume, because he's never going to have a high conversion rate. Anyone that Blake Bortles throws to will never have a high conversion rate. It doesn't matter who you are, right? So at that point, all you're looking for is any player here that stands to see double digit targets? Lee's really the only one that you would make any sizable or even confident bet on. I think he's a pretty easy call for cash games. I think it's a pretty easy fade for tournaments, for the same reason, because I think he'll be the highest owned of that group. And with such a small slate, you are just going to want to take a dart throw on the Westbrooks catching a touchdown, or Allen, or, you know, Hearns coming back and showing that he is less hurt than maybe he was playing last week. I think you easily pivot off that number for him in tournaments, because I think he will probably be the highest owned wide receiver, would be my guess. It's a little hard to pinpoint, but for cash, I think that it's a pretty easy call at his price tag.
Yeah.
You know, the more I'm thinking about this game, Blake Bortles has been quite good in the second half. If you compare Tom Brady over his last 6 starts and Blake Bortles over his last 6 starts, who has the higher touchdown rate? Who has the higher yards per attempt rate? Who has the higher completion rate? Who's been sacked the most? Blake Bortles leads in every single one of those categories. He threw a couple extra interceptions in those 2 games, but you know that's who Blake Bortles is. He comes with the turnovers. He's been a good quarterback lately, so I'm really digging the Marquise Lee call. You know, I'm thinking about the Patriots and how you beat this Jacksonville Jags cover 3 defense. You line up Hogan in the slot, use Gronk, and you run a seam, you know, right up the middle, and that shreds the cover 3. There's really not too much that you can do to stop that. So I'm going to have a lot of exposure to Chris Hogan and Rob Gronkowski in this game, and also Marquise Lee. The over-under in this game is 46. The other game we're going to be talking about soon, 38.5. So I want a lot of exposure to these two offenses, as weird as that sounds.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And Gronk is an interesting one, because there's a narrative out there that people think that Jalen Ramsey is going to cover Gronk. And I don't think that happens. I'm not buying the narrative, because Gronk is held into block. Like, this is the thing that people forget. Gronk's held into block 45% of the time. That's pretty standard. Like, he runs more routes than most tight ends, but still, he's held into block almost half the time. So if you're going to have Ramsey stuck on him, following him around the formation, you're essentially removing Ramsey from the game half of the time. And that's not something you want to do as the Jags. You don't want to do it. And if they do that, the Patriots are going to game plan against you, and they're going to go to their outside wide receivers. You know, even if he does line up against him, Gronk only goes into this, he plays out of this, he runs 53% of his routes out of the slot. Again, an issue for Ramsey, because Ramsey only played 64 of over 1,100 snaps this season out of the slot. So therefore, he's not used to playing the slot. And it's an entirely different position, because you don't have the sideline using, basically working as another defender. So I don't think that they use Ramsey to cover Gronk. Now, would it be smart when he lines up out wide? Yeah, absolutely. But when it comes to him, you know, being on the line and blocking, or running a route when he's off the line, you're not going to have Ramsey there. So I'm playing Gronk. I'm paying up for him. As Doug mentioned, you have to pick your spots to who you're going to pay for, and we have to spend money somewhere. I'm not spending it on Fournette, so I'm able to get Gronk in my cash lineups.
Yeah, Gronk's 100% of cash lineups for me too. And it's interesting too, because as there aren't many awesome receivers, there actually are a decent amount of good tight ends that you can sort of sink your teeth into here on this slate, between the guys in the other game, specifically the other game, and then Gronk. Jacksonville doesn't have anyone that you can feel great about, but yeah, I think from that standpoint, Gronk still does stand head and shoulders above the rest. You mentioned Chris Hogan. I love Hogan from a tournament perspective this week. That, you know, if you need to, with 2 games, there's very few ways to go, and it's going to be very hard to gain separation really anywhere. The one way I like gaining separation is to take guys who are, especially in this case, coming off what you would call a bad week, where it's going to be very easy to look at Hogan's 4 targets from last week and say he's just the odd man out here. But he ran the second most wide receiver routes of anybody after Cooks. So he outsnapped everybody else in terms of the wide receiver core. That I take as a good sign. His red zone targets are still considering how much time he missed, he was still pretty high up there in terms of red zone targets. And we saw it last week happen again where he caught a touchdown. I like Hogan. I think he will be massively underowned because of the way Brady distributed targets last week. And I'm prepared to take an L on that because I think this is just what you need to do in terms of just these small slates. But I think Hogan would be a guy, if I had to call it right now, Hogan, just from some of the numbers I looked at, Hogan would be a guy that I'd be happy to run out in just about every tournament lineup and just say, this is going to be my dart throw for the week, because I think there's enough context behind it that he has upside.
I like it. I like Hogan. You mentioned it. He's the number one red zone threat. Even after missing all those games that he did, I want to say it was seven games during the regular season, he was tied for the team lead in red zone targets among wide receivers. He saw just as many as Cooks. He's better in the red zone than Cooks. Like, that's the thing. Would it surprise you if he scores two touchdowns in this game? Absolutely not. So I definitely agree on that. And I think you can make the case for almost anybody on the Patriots roster to throw in the tournament lineup. Cooks can have one big play that pays off. Amendola, we saw him heavily utilized last week, although I don't know if he's as much as a tournament play. He's more expensive than Hogan. So I'm with you guys on Hogan. I think Hogan's probably my favorite tournament play on the Patriots.
Now, is there any reason to use Mercedes Lewis, Dede Westbrook, Keelan Cole, the Jags defense? Doug, do you like any of these options?
No, I want to. Like, I want to like them because they're cheap and they fill a need. And the reason you like them is because no one is going to like them. And if that makes sense, right? No one is going to look at this and say, I want to play Mercedes Lewis. I want to play Keelan Cole. I want to play like Ben Koyak. These guys that are basically, you're just hoping against hope that they catch a touchdown because they really don't have any other real use in the offense. So I want to say I don't like them strictly from a football standpoint, and I want to like them because these are just the kind of guys on a two-game slate that win you a tournament because they catch, you know. I mean, if Mercedes Lewis caught three balls and one of them was a touchdown and he went for like 20 yards, you would consider that a massive win, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
on a slate like this. So from that standpoint, I like it. And you just need to be emotionally prepared to just take a zero with one of these guys. And that's just, if you can get over that hump and you feel comfortable saying, I'm rostering a Mercedes Lewis, I'm rostering a Keelan Cole, and I'm prepared at the end of the day when it's all said and done to have a zero next to their name, then sure, there's definitely upside, but you just need to be in the right sort of, it's more of an emotional play at that point, right? Like you need to be prepared. So I think it's a long-winded answer to say, I don't like them. And then I will probably find reasons to play some of them when I'm putting in tournament lineups.
Well, I think the reason that you'd play like Mercedes Lewis and like, it's, let's say if you're setting like, you know, 10 to 20, you know, different tournament lineups to have some exposure to Mercedes Lewis, the reason you do it is to create some different roster construction, because there's not a tight end even close to his price where it's like 2,500. He's the bare minimum. The next closest is Kyle Rudolph at 4,500. So therefore you're getting 2,000 to work into your lineup in places where other people aren't going to be able to spend it, because Mercedes Lewis, he's probably going to be 5% owned. Like, and I know that you might even think that's high, but at the same time, on a two-game slate, people are going to have exposure to different tight ends. It's just going to happen, but it does allow you to have different roster construction. And honestly, you know, if we're talking about Belichick and the Patriots and what they do to scheme against other teams' best players, they're not worried about Mercedes Lewis beating them. They're really not.
All right, guys, final prediction on the score. Tags, I'll let you go first.
Oh man, I want to pick the Jags, but I'm gonna say the Patriots win this game 23-20.
I think, I mean, it's hard to pick against the Patriots. So I'm going to say Patriots, and I think the Jags cover. So I'll say, and I think it's lower scoring than we think. So I'm going to go 21-14.
Nice.
I'm going 24-10 Patriots.
Wow.
All right. And I mentioned earlier in the show that this episode is brought to you by our new sponsors at GetRoman.com/FantasyPros, where you can get $50 off your first month. And I want to tell you a little bit about them before we move on to the second game. Roman is doctors, pharmacists, and problem solvers. Some of us are bald, some of us have ED, and they help you work on those things. Look, I get it. Guys don't like talking about their health, and they certainly don't like talking about issues with their manlyhood, but erectile dysfunction is something men should not ignore. It's a check engine light to your body that just flipped on to let you know, hey man, something's going on. In a lot of cases, issues with performance are an indicator of larger underlying health conditions, but guys still ignore it. That's why Roman was built for guys like you to connect with their physician and start a dialogue in a safe, discreet environment. And if medication is right for you, they'll ship it to your door the next day. ED isn't a condition that only affects old dudes. Over 52% of all men experience some form of ED. That's 20% of men in their 20s, 30% of men in their 30s, 40% of men in their 40s, and so on. So here's how Roman works. You get a 5-minute online visit, answer questions about your medical history, let the physician know if you have any medical preference in your online visit. A U.S. licensed physician will review your treatment, request and write a prescription if appropriate, and then the meds are delivered for free. The Roman Pharmacy Network will ship your medication for free in a discreet packaged mark RHP, and automatically refill every month or quarter. So you can get $50 off your first month. Visit GetRoman.com/fantasypros. That's GetRoman.com/fantasypros for $50 off your first month. Okay, guys, on to the second game. I'm all over Case Keenum. I just think this Philly defense is not going to be runned on. It hasn't been all year. And so they're going to have to pass. And Case Keenum's been sufficient to get them here, at least. They've got the best wide receiver core in the NFL. So I'm all over Case Keenum at 8,000 on FanDuel this week. Doug, where do you stand?
He looked good. I'm a little more bearish on him. His numbers overall last week looked good. And they look good because he tacked on a 60-yard touchdown, sort of luck box touchdown to end the game. And so if you you can't subtract plays because plays happen, and it's not fair to just cherry pick the ones you didn't want to add to the box score. That being said, before that, the line was just okay. He hadn't thrown a touchdown and he was going to end with like 250 yards and nothing else. So I don't know if I think his line looked better because of that one play than it actually was. So I think I'm not as high on Keenum here, and it's a four game slate. And if I had to rank them in terms of wanting to play them, I would probably, price independent, he'd probably be second. But with the price, I think I'd rather play Brady and Bortles, honestly, over Keenum.
I actually like the call on Keenum. I mean, he has been struggling a little bit down the stretch. Like, if you look at his numbers over the last month of the season, he wasn't performing like he was in the middle of the season. He was always like that cash game quarterback. It reminded me of Carson Palmer a couple of years ago, where you could just kind of plug him into cash and work your way around it. His price kind of came up to the point where it's like, you really don't want to play him at 6,600 on DraftKings because you're paying 1,600 more for someone that you're kind of projecting similar to Bortles. So I'm not in love with Keenum, but if there was a second quarterback that I was going to play, he'd definitely be the one I would play.
Are you guys even using Nick Foles in GPP? Like, I can't bring myself to do it against this Vikings defense. I know he had a decent game a while back. I know he's got some pieces. I know they're playing at home and everything. But even with just four options, I don't want any exposure.
No, there are certain players you have to take a stance on. And my stance is no Nick Foles.
It's not a great spot. I'm probably not as bearish as you guys. He looked like he settled in a little bit as the game went on last game, which is a good sign. He looked real bad to start, and it looked like it was going to be kind of a total mess, like just looking for pass interference calls and just kind of lobbing balls up. Like, he looked pretty bad to start the game. He ended with a 77% completion percentage. And Tash, you know more about X's and O's than I do, but from what I've heard, the Philly offense runs a pretty simple base scheme. And if you're going to complete, there aren't many quarterbacks that are going to complete 77% of their passes. I think from that standpoint, I'm encouraged, especially at 4,800. Again, I'd rather play Bortles at 5,000, mostly just because he runs. And I'm just not as down on him as maybe, and this will probably look silly compared to what you guys just said when it's all said and done, if he looks really, really bad. But I don't know, the numbers didn't look as bad as I thought they were going to. And I'm more encouraged that it seemed like he got better as the game went on. So it wouldn't be someone that I would just completely avoid, and he still ranks fourth among quarterbacks that I want to play on the slate.
Yeah, and to be fair, I want to be fair about this, is that Nick Foles did get a lot better as the game went on last week. When he started the game, it looked so bad.
Oh, yeah.
He missed a short pass. His first one was a duck, but we found out, when Matt Ryan threw a long one into the wind too, his looked similar to Foles. So the wind obviously played a factor in that, but to see him throw for 8.2 yards per attempt, complete 23 out of 30 passes, even after that horrid start, it was something. And I'm not going to discount that at all. I'm not going to say that Nick Foles doesn't have a good game inside of him. I just don't see him having a good game against this particular team. I think they match up extremely well with the Eagles pass catchers. It's like, you look at Xavier Rhodes, he's going to essentially remove Alshon Jeffrey out of the game. And by the way, Alshon Jeffrey has been removed from a lot of games as of late. He hasn't played well. He hasn't stepped up in the big moments, which is kind of what I remember from Chicago, is that Alshon Jeffrey was never meant to be the go-to guy in an offense. Torrey Smith seeing more targets, Nelson Aguilar, he hasn't been horrible with Nick Foles, so I don't really want to discount him. He's really cheap on this slate. But Zach Ertz against this Minnesota defense that was top 10 against tight ends on the year. Again, I just don't like the matchups. And, in a slate like this, you have to take stances on certain players. And if I'm going to write off one quarterback, it's got to be him, because, you don't want to write off Tom Brady. Like, you don't want to just say, I'm not playing Brady in anything. And obviously I like Bortles in cash. He's cheap enough to consider in tournaments, and Case Keenum is my second favorite quarterback. So it's kind of like by default. That's why I don't like Foles and the matchup. Minnesota, before allowing Drew Brees to throw three touchdowns, which it's Drew Brees, they didn't allow a single touchdown in their final three games of the season. So a passing touchdown. Yeah, I'm taking a stance on Foles and saying that I will not have any exposure, even in tournaments.
Now, over at running back, it's not very exciting in this game either. We've got Jerick McKinnon, Jay Ajayi, Latavius Murray. I guess you could go down and go LeGarrette Blount if you wanted to, or Corey Clement. I'm not doing it. The only one that I like in this game even remotely is Jerick McKinnon, just because he's going to be used in the passing game. And that's what Minnesota's going to have to do if they want to win this game. So he's my second cash game back. I wish there were better options, but that's who I'm going with. Doug, how do you feel about McKinnon and the rest of these options?
I like that he's involved in the pass game, so you'll have to like that for DraftKings. I like that Murray is has the touchdown equity. I mean, I know McKinnon did score last week, so there's something that, but if they're down and close, it is Murray, and that's encouraging. And there aren't many there's basically three running backs that you can count on in the slate that fit that mold for their teams. And we talked about Lewis and Fournette. So if you're going to slot Murray into that, if you need touchdowns to win, Murray has the touchdown upside. Unlike McKinnon in that he needs a lot to go right for him to score a rushing touchdown. So I don't mind Murray here. And I think there's a game script that they do lean heavily on him, especially if they feel like Philly's not able to move the ball at all in the defense and they're able to get something of a lead early and they just want to take it out of Keenum's hands and run the game out. I think you could see 20 carries out of Murray. I think from that standpoint, if I'm going to fade Fournette, which I think is possibly something to really consider in tournaments, Murray is the guy that I would pivot to, because mostly just because of the touchdowns.
Yeah, I kind of like Bobby's on McKinnon. You know, the reason I say that is we're talking about two of the defenses that led the NFL in terms of rushing and yards allowed. So the Eagles, ridiculous. They didn't even allow 950 yards on the entire season. And keep in mind, that's not to starting running backs. That's to an entire team. They didn't allow 950 yards rushing to a team. Like, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Their front seven is still really strong. That's the reason that they're still here in the playoffs. They were able to shut down the Falcons' run game, even though the Falcons started out strong, which was really surprising to start the game. And it was like, wow, if the Falcons are able to run the ball, they're going to win this game. And Philly, they made adjustments and they played really well to finish out that game. Like, from the second quarter on, I don't even know what the rushing yard total was they allowed after the second quarter or after the first quarter, but it was something ridiculous. Like, they were really good. I kind of see that being the case again. I don't think Latavius Murray is a special running back by any means. I can't see them getting down into scoring position over and over where it's like he presents massive upside, because we know he doesn't come with a yardage upside. We're looking for those touchdowns. McKinnon on a site like DraftKings, you know, those receptions, the Eagles, while they were the best team in the NFL against the run, they did allow the 10th most receptions to running backs. They also allowed 5 receiving touchdowns to them, which was tied for the 2nd most in the league. So if we're looking at an area of the field that Jerick McKinnon's going to contribute, it's over the middle of the field, the short passing game. And by the way, I also think it helps Jerick McKinnon that Adam Thielen is dealing with a back issue that caused him to miss practice this week. You know, if Adam Thielen, we've seen his targets come down. We've seen Stephon Diggs, his targets come up a little bit. And if it continues to trend in that direction, they need to get the ball out against a tough Philly front seven. Jerick McKinnon's the guy to do it. So I think Jerick McKinnon is going to be in my cash game along with James White and Deion Lewis. I think those are the three running backs that I'm going to trot out in DraftKings.
I'm really not too excited about the wide receiver options in this game. Like, I love Stephon Diggs, but he's so expensive. Adam Thielen, as you mentioned, is dealing with the back issue. I guess I'm using Diggs by default because I have to pick three guys, but I'm not using anyone for Philadelphia either. Doug, who do you like in these two wide receiver cores in this Sunday night game?
Yeah, the Thielen thing, the injury thing, again, so hard to evaluate these things. I would, for cash, you have to like that they basically split targets last week. And it's been trending, you know, it was Thielen for so long, and then I guess, you know, kind of reverted back to Diggs near the end of the season. I still like Thielen mostly. Well, it's funny, because he's much more expensive than Diggs on DraftKings. So I think you will see Diggs as a higher ownership just by a price default, if nothing else. So I think from that point of view, you are probably not getting away with too much. It's hard to pay more for Thielen and not expect, if you want to just expect equal sort of treatment in the passing game, which it seems is the case. You know, if you're looking for a dart throw, Jarius Wright did see 6 targets last week. So that's just, he's 3,000 on DraftKings. It's, again, you could prepare yourself to take a zero on him because this is just Jarius Wright and they just have other receivers, especially when you add the tight end as well, who sees really good pass distribution just from that position. So I'm not so bullish on these guys. I think that Diggs will be very highly owned, mostly because of the performance and that last play sticks with people. And it rightfully should. I mean, it's a great play, and he adds a ton to his total just by basically having Williams whiff on the tackle and then run to the end zone. So I think from that point of view, Diggs is probably the highest owned wide receiver on the slate. It's probably correct, and I don't love it. And I think I'd rather just Honestly, I'd probably just rather stack up some Patriots guys, especially in tournaments, just because I think they have just as much upside and will have less ownership.
I like Diggs in this matchup. You know, we were just talking about Adam Thielen, the fact that dealing with this back issue, even if it's not affecting him a lot, his targets have been affected as of late. Like earlier in the season, we've seen him getting double digit targets like almost constantly. And then as of late, it's been down in that 6 to 8 range, right around there. Diggs earlier in the season was in that 4 to 6 range. But when he got the targets, he performed. There have been 5 games this year where Diggs has seen at least 8 targets. In those games, 6.4 receptions, 105 yards, 1.2 touchdowns, an average of 25.3 DraftKings points. Now, the reason I'm excited about Diggs is because his matchup is better than that of Adam Thielen as well. So Thielen's going to match up in the slot with Patrick Robinson, who's been a solid addition for that team. Some people are going to think that Ronald Darby is going to shadow Stephon Diggs. That's not going to happen. Darby's been playing on the right side of their formation forever. Diggs is on the other side of the formation. He's going to match up with Jalen Mills the majority of the time. Jalen Mills was considered, by PFF, he was graded the worst cornerback in football last year. This year, he has played a lot better, but he still has allowed 9 touchdowns in his coverage. That is the most by any cornerback in the NFL. Stephon Diggs, like I said, he's been seeing an increase in targets. He's been seeing, I want to say he's seen at least 8 or more in 3 of the last 5 games. And considering Thielen missing practice time, considering the Eagles, how good they are against the run, I see Diggs getting those 8 targets this game. And that's why I'm paying for him. He's like the only wide receiver that I see on the slate that I really like up top. Because I mean, Thielen, again, I'm not playing him in cash with the concern. You could say you can make a case for tournaments. But Diggs, he's my favorite one. I mean, he's the one that I'm going to pay up for probably in cash and tournaments.
Now, Doug, you mentioned Jarius Wright, and I saw that Pro Football Focus had him as a very, very highly graded player. So I went back to watch the tape to see what I'd been missing. He's a good football player. Like, I think he might be a better football player than Marquise Lee. The only reason we're seeing Lee is because, you know, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson both got hurt, and Lee had to step up and see all those targets. And, you know, he's good. He's just fine for what the Jags need. But, you know, Jarius Wright, if he gets a few opportunities, he could have a big game. I like that call for GPP.
So cheap, too. I mean, just 3,000. And like I said, 4 targets probably gets you there on a 2-game slate. There aren't many players at this in that price point that really even see the field. And so, again, you're asking a lot. This is not a guy that is heavily featured in the offense. He's at best, what, like the 5th option if you count McKinnon out of the backfield in terms of just targets. So you need to prepare to not see a ton from him. And they were able to exploit some matchups last week. But and just to go back to Diggs, I agree with you. Diggs is the cash game play from that perspective. I was more just referring to where I saw him standing in tournaments. I think he'll be higher owned than I expect I would have exposure to him, just because I do think that last play sticks in people's mind a little bit more than it should. I'm totally on him for cash games.
Doug, what's your take on Nelson Agholor? Like he's a guy that he's only 4,800, so he's really cheap. You have Alshon Jeffrey down there at 4,600. So it's like these two are right there. It seems like Agholor has been like more involved in the offense than Alshon Jeffrey has as of late. How do you feel about those two? Like, let's say you're trying to decide for a cash game lineup. Which one of those two would you play?
I would play Agholor. I always like when there's been a quarterback change and then there's a clear shift in opportunity from one receiver to another. Like you saw that with Hundley and Davante Adams this season when Rodgers went down. You see, you know, it had been Jordy Nelson, and then all of a sudden it's a new quarterback and it's just a new receiver. And I think that shift for Agholor happened basically the day Foles took over is an encouraging sign that he's just more of the guy that Foles looks at. And I think maybe that making that up a little bit, but that you do see that from time to time when you have quarterback shifts, especially when a receiver does, you know, it's not DeAndre Hopkins, where of course the whoever's playing quarterback is still just going to throw all day to DeAndre Hopkins. This wide receiver core doesn't strike me as anything close to that. So the fact that Agholor has been the preferred target basically for Foles in the limited sample size we have, I prefer him in this case, especially too, just from a possession standpoint. If Jeffrey's running more of these over the top routes, that doesn't seem like the plan with Foles. So I prefer Agholor kind of by a lot over Jeffrey.
Yeah, if I had to pick 4 wide receivers, like on DraftKings, I'm using Agholor for sure, just because of all those opportunities like you talked about with Foles. I'm buying that. I'm a believer in quarterbacks seem to target people more so, and that's what's happening with Agholor. So I'm getting my hands on him in DraftKings. FanDuel, I'll use him in plenty of GPP lineups. Now, moving over to tight end, it sounds like we're all using Gronk, but if not, is it Zach Ertz or Kyle Rudolph? Doug, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I like on DraftKings the fact that I'll take the price savings here at 4,500 and go Rudolph. And I think that Ertz, and we have Ertz for a slightly higher projection, and it's just not enough. So if we're just playing really close to the margins here, which you're doing with such a limited player pool, I'll take Rudolph just because I like the $800 savings you get on him. And no, and with the idea that Ertz has just about the same projection, if not a little bit more. So I know I'm hedging my answer a little bit, but I'll go with the savings at 4,500 and kind of hope. And at this point, you're just hoping one of them gets in the end zone.
I honestly don't. I mean, there's like we talked about, there's like you have to spend your money somewhere. So if I went down from Gronk to someone else, it would definitely be Ertz just because he's like the higher projected player for me, because I don't know where else I would spend the money. Like Diggs is the only expensive wide receiver that I want. And if I'm not paying for Gronk, I'm not paying for Brady. Like basically it comes down to what do I have money for? And I know I have money to pay for Ertz over Rudolph. And that's why I'd go Ertz, because I, you know, if we're talking from a pure projection standpoint, I think Ertz is the play. Ertz has performed in some really bad matchups this year too, like the matchups that I didn't expect him to do well in, he did. Like he just continually did it. Now the move to Foles scared some people off, but remember that he played with Foles for the first 2 years of his career while in Philly, so they have a connection. We've seen that even, you know, in this short sample size. I know last week wasn't a week where people want to go back and remember, but if you go back to week 16 against Oakland, the Raiders, he saw 14 targets in that game, caught 9 passes for 81 yards. You know, against the Giants the week before that with Foles under center, he saw 9 targets. So it's like he's going to be targeted by Nick Foles. And you know, this Minnesota defense, you kind of have to pick your spots, and knowing that Alshon Jeffery is going to match up with Xavier Rhodes, who is a top 5 cornerback in the NFL. I know he struggled at times this year, but Alshon Jeffery is just not a guy who's seeing targets from Foles. He's not a guy that's going to win matchups one-on-one. He's going to win jump balls, if anything. So for me, Ertz is the play if you want to come down from Gronk. I just don't think I'm going to be doing that.
These small slates really benefit just bold choices in terms of just salary distribution. So one thing you can do for sure is if you think Gronk is going to be the highest owned tight end, which he almost definitely will be, and because there are two other options that exist that do have upside in their own right, do have, you know, at times double digit target upside, that not to say that you know, played out 1,000 times, Gronk is going to be the highest total guy, you know, many more times than the other ones. But if you're willing to stomach it, leaving money on the table and just putting together the same roster and then just flipping one of those tight ends into Gronk's position and just saying, look, maybe I'm going to leave $2,000 on the table because no one else is going to do that. These kind of slates do at times benefit that kind of thinking. So the fact that there are other, you wouldn't do it like Gronk to Mercedes Lewis, let's say, right? Because that wouldn't make any sense. Like you'll almost never make up the price difference just on that move alone. But taking, you know, what is he, 65% of the cost of Gronk for a guy like Ertz, I think making the same lineup and then flipping that one guy gives you separation, especially in a lineup that no one else is going to make, because it feels kind of icky to leave that much money on the table. And I think a tight end is a place where you can definitely do that this week.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. I think he made a really good point there. And the fact that on such a short slate that we have, if you want to leave $1,000 on the table, do it. Especially in a tournament. In cash, don't do that. But in tournaments, it's definitely a way to set yourself apart.
You do that really easily by just fading two guys that are fadeable in Fournette and Gronk. They're the two. They're very expensive, and there are plenty of scenarios where they just don't meet their price with other guys at the positions that do for much cheaper. So if you're willing, like I said, if you're willing to be able to do it, leaving $2,000 to $3,000 on the table by just flipping out those two guys, I think has upside and plenty of separation value.
All right, guys, let's talk defense. I already said I'm using the Patriots everywhere. I think the Vikings are going to be the most popular play. Tags, is that who you're using this week?
I'm going to play the Jags. I'm not even kidding either. And I know that some people are like, why would you play a defense against the Patriots? Because Tom Brady's not the most mobile quarterback. That defense brings a ton of pressure. And if Brady's hand is messed up at all, I want them. So at 2,800, like, they're never the cheapest defense. And that's why I'm playing the Jags. They're the cheapest defense, it's kind of like an easy play for me in cash, just because the other matchups, like the Vikings, they're a solid play, yeah, but they're also on the road. You have the Patriots defense. I know they're at home, but again, there's a scenario where this turns into, you know, the Patriots score a bunch of points, Jags have to put points on the board. It's got the highest over under of the week, obviously. So there's just things to dislike, and you're paying up for them. So for me, I'm just taking the best defense and just going that way.
Yeah, I like that call. It's really interesting when you look at DVOA, especially the DVOA ranks of these defenses is Jacksonville 1, Minnesota 2, Philly 5, and then New England 31st. Now, I know some of that is left over from the beginning of the season when they're having all kinds of problems, but this is just not a good defense. And I do think they will be overplayed because people will see the matchup of Jacksonville as being so much better. And I think the math problem is really, is it so much better as compared to how much worse their defense is than any of the other teams. And I'm not sure they completely get there. We right now do have New England as, I think, the second highest overall projected points. And that's mostly some of that has to do just with just points and just how many interceptions the Jacksonville throws. So that kind of gets them there. But I think I personally would go with the Vikings just because I think the Foles, in the end, I think the Foles thing is an aberration. And I do think that they are not going to have as many answers. They did not put up a lot of points against the Falcons defense, which is significantly worse than the Minnesota team. So I think I would go with the Vikings. They're a little bit cheaper than the Patriots, around the same price as the Eagles. I think for at least for cash, I'd go mini.
All right, guys. And what's your final prediction for the score in this game? Doug, I'll let you go first this time.
Oh, man. Low scoring, I say 21-18. I'm not sure how Philly gets 18, but no, we'll say 21-15. 21-15 Minnesota.
I like that one. I'm going to go with 24-17 Minnesota.
I've got 24-23 Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Oh, go Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, just think playing in front of that stadium for a quarterback like Case Keenum, who, I mean, he's been solid and everything, but it's Case Keenum. I think that's a pretty tough task. And, you know, you got to give credit to those Philly fans. They are nuts. It's going to be a tough place to play. And I think Philadelphia's defense is going to come out on top here.
There's travel restrictions for Minnesota fans traveling to Philly, like a real thing. They said to be prepared to like have some animosity towards you if you're going to the stadium, which I wish it was like an Onion article, but it's not. So I think the home field advantage thing does matter for Philly. As someone that grew up in Philly, I hate to like put too much stock in stuff like that. And that's a rabid fan base. And I think it probably is one of the reasons the line is a little closer than you would think it was, considering they're starting Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, guys, before we go, I want you all to give me one shot in the dark who you like to use for a GPP contest. I'm going to go first. Chris Ivory. I don't think that he's going to have a big game. He's probably going to get one or two fantasy points like he usually does. But Leonard Fournette just keeps getting hurt. There's a chance he gets hurt in the first quarter, misses the game, and we see Ivory get 15 to 25 touches. And if he does, maybe a touchdown or two is on the table at his price point. That could separate you in a GPP. We saw it last year with D'Angelo Williams for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think it could happen again here with Chris Ivory and Leonard Fournette. So I'm going to have some lineups with exposure to Ivory. Doug, who do you have for us?
I'll go the other running back there. I was going to go Yeldon. He's 20 snaps last week, scored a touchdown, featured in the passing game if you think they're going to be playing catch up. So I will just, same team, different running back. I'll go with Yeldon.
I think the Yeldon call's a good one. Ivory, I don't know if Fournette's not hurt, I don't think he would be active for this game. But so I am going to go with D.D. Westbrook. And the reason I say that is because Marquise Lee is out. You know, you talked about it, Doug, the fact that he's a chalk play. He's like a no brainer play at the cost he is. Most people aren't going to want to go down to Westbrook just because of that. They're like, well, I could just get Lee. He's only 500 more. Some might play Keelan Cole. He's the one who's been going off for the big plays in some of these games that people have seen. They saw it last week too. D.D. Westbrook was brought onto this team to be that deep threat, and it just really hasn't shown quite yet. I don't know if it's him and Bortles haven't connected there, but he's going to match up with Malcolm Butler the majority of this game, if not all game. And Butler can be beat by quick receivers. We saw Emmanuel Sanders beat him like a drum. So D.D. Westbrook is someone that I would take a shot on a few tournament lineups.
All right, guys, well, that's all for today's show. Doug, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Enjoy the last weekend of football, and hopefully talk to you guys next year.
Sounds great. Absolutely. And thanks to the sponsors of today's show, GetRoman.com/FantasyPros for $50 off your first month, and DraftKings.com, the promo code FantasyPros. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip.
That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.